Jesus said that there were going to be signs in the heavens, signs in the sun, signs in the moon. You can see that in Luke 21:25. And in North America, in the United States, there is a signature sign taking place. It's something which is rather unique. It's happening over our country geographically. 2017, we had a series of cities that were covered in an eclipse, and it was seven Salems. And now, coming up shortly in 2024, in April, we're going to be seeing seven cities covered again, and they're going to be called Nineveh. Salem, of course, is peace. Nineveh is a warning. It's the sign of Jonah. Jonah himself is the prophet we want to be looking at. And what does that have to do with America? America began with the first great eclipse. It was 1776, believe it or not, when Washington had the experience and was concerned in making sure the army wasn't worried about the signature meaning of that eclipse. Because there is such a thing as signs in the heavens that are speaking to us on the earth for signs and for seasons, messages and meanings. And part of that is going to be the believer's challenge right now. How do you put together these events in such a way that you have peace of mind and that you can advance the kingdom of God? One of the teachings we have that I think is appropriate for this period of time is a thing called the signet ring. The signet ring comes alive during the period of Esther's challenge, Mordecai's challenge, the challenge of the Jews in a hostile government, much like Christians today in North America. But I want you to get the teaching on the signet ring anointing, because the signet ring is a symbol of how God's will be imprinted on the environment around you if you know how to make that work. Mercedes, where can they get a hold of that message?
Yeah, sure, Lance. So for your gift of any amount this month, if you go to lancewallnow.com/signet, you can get a hold of it there, or you can call the number that's on the screen for everybody on the podcast. That is 1-800-910-6349. All right, and now Lance, take it away.
Well, I'm back at the desk. It's time to go into the prophetic meaning of the times. I want to start with something that just took place recently with the bridge collapsing in Maryland.
I thought we were talking about the eclipse.
Huh?
We're not talking about the eclipse in this?
We're going to talk about the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
Oh, got it. Okay.
We'll get to the eclipse. There are two major things that are going on right now that we need to talk about. One is there a prophetic significance to signs of the times? And sometimes those signs are just happening right in front of your face and you can't miss it. And they're so obvious that it has a sobering impact. Now, I was going to go to the coming April 8th solar eclipse, which many of you are probably already hearing the buzz about. But something has taken place that needs to be given a second look. And it's the Francis Scott Key Bridge that has gone down in Maryland. And the reason why this is significant is that, go ahead and tell the story real quick about Francis Scott Key's.
Well, yeah, so Francis Scott Key, he wrote what we would know as our national anthem, originally a poem called The Defense of Fort McHenry. And he wrote it because he went onto British, one of the British ships, and ended up, while he was over there, I think he went there for a negotiation,
yeah,
a peace
okay.
treaty.
So the story is...
I know what happened afterwards, so
all right,
go
so the
ahead.
Story is they were going to be negotiating the exchange of British soldiers for American soldiers, and this is going to be like September 11th, 9/11, 8/14. They were going to be doing the negotiations. But the British Admiralty said the negotiations are a moot point because you guys are going to be surrendering anyway. We've been just given the order to bombard the stronghold of Fort McHenry, and suddenly on the horizon, we're like, 100 ships, all with their cannons, getting dialed in on taking out the fort. And what they said is, all you've got to do is lower your dang American flag in submission, and that will be the sign of your surrender of Fort McHenry. And then we won't be negotiating any longer. You guys will be surrendered, and we'll do the exchange then. So Francis Scott Key, as an attorney, is at the location where the ship from Singapore hits the bridge. The significance of this is the bridge is dedicated to the national anthem author. This is a symbol, in my opinion, of the United States. Mm-hmm. And that this song that became the national anthem in 1931, Oh Say Can You See by the Dawn's Early Light, is because what Keyes was doing was he was on board the ship that had the American prisoners under English supervision. And as the bombardment starts and it goes on into the night, he's reporting back to them below, well, did they lower the flag? And he says, no, this is why you hear the lyrics of, you know, the rockets' red glare and bombs bursting in air. The red glare of the rockets exploding showed whether or not the flag had gone down. Now, they had so pulverized the fort that to their horror the next day, they realized that, of course, the flagpole was knocked down because the bombardment was so ruthless. But the patriots that were there, having gone through the colonial war, and then Britain coming back for almost a phase two redo of their loss. We don't understand. Britain came back to take, they went to Washington. They came back to the United States because of, they didn't like our support of France with their conflict with France and Napoleon. So they were going to exact vengeance on the colony that rebelled. Now they're back in strength. What they noticed in the morning was that the flag was held up by patriots in the fort who would go and pick up the flag and hold it up until they were shot down. Then another one took it. And so you see a pile of human beings beneath the flag. So the flagpole is busted and the flag is still held up on a pole, but it was stationed in the midst of the bodies that went down dead.
I never heard that.
Yeah, that's the part of the story that you don't hear. You keep thinking that the flag is still there, and the next day the flagpole was knocked down. Patriots were holding up the flag. So what's significant about this is Francis then dedicates this song to the fact that the flag was still there. Mm-hmm. And as we look at this now, Francis Scott Key Bridge is dedicated to the location where Fort McHenry was, where Francis was on board the ship within 100 yards of where the other ship mm-hmm. from Singapore comes in. And there's a lot of, you know, buzz out there in the internet about the fact that this Singapore cargo ship lost power. Mm-hmm. And so the premise is, well, maybe it was jammed or maybe somehow it was interfered with. We don't know. That's really going out there in a certain zone. What we do know is, and we got the footage of, you guys have it? This is horrifying. So when you see the bridge with 120 people were crossing the bridge at the time when the bridge went down. So you guys have that footage there? There you see the ship losing power, bam, it hits into the main support, and then watch that.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm looking at this like early in the morning, because this happened late at night.
Yeah, it's like 2 a.m, something like that.
Yeah, 2 a.m, and I happen to be up, because I just did a Lance rant, you know, on my suppressed Facebook page. And so I'm watching that, and this really shook me up because I see it as a statement that America needs to really wake up to the threat of losing this beautiful experiment in freedom, and that the national anthem, which is our unifying theme, which you see people protesting and burning flags, we're watching an attack on the beauty of this nation and the experiment of what it represents, in a sense, coming down. You watch what's going on with Donald Trump. You look at what's happening with them trying to, put him in prison, jail him, bankrupt him, the out of control government. And what we're seeing here is a strange redo of the battle we've had before, which is the federal government versus states. During the Civil War, the states were in rebellion and the federal government was asserting unity. Now we've got the federal government destroying the unity of the government of the United States, destroying the nation. And it looks like states are actually the final holdout to resist what's going on. And it brings up this whole eclipse situation in really clear light, because where the next eclipse is taking place starts in Eagle Pass, Texas. Ironically, Eagle Pass, Texas was just in the news when you heard all this Civil War talk. Down there in Texas, you see where that Eagle Pass is located. It's the Texas border. Eagle Pass is where the eclipse starts. Now you see an X there. Let's talk about this for a second. From the upper left-hand corner, for those of you who are listening to the podcast, going down to the right, the 2017 eclipse took place. And what made that kind of interesting to me is the last nationally significant date that we have for an eclipse like this, surprisingly, was 1776. Washington was given alert that an eclipse was going to take place, and it would be perceived as an omen by the Christians and the superstitious, colonialists, that it was an omen that they were losing the war. And he wanted them alerted to the fact that it could be a sign that actually there was divine intervention taking place. And 1776 was the first American eclipse with us as a nation. This significant eclipse that happened in 2017 is important because following that with 2024 is the second eclipse, and they both create a crisscross shape, and they cross over in a place called New Egypt, which is right there in the center there where you see the intersection taking place. Now, what's curious to me is that the eclipse that took place in 2017 went through with 130-mile wide radius. It went through seven cities that ironically or curiously have the name Salem attached to it. Salem being the word for peace. And so you see, in 2017, I'm going to go so far as to say you have Trump in office, you have a period of unusual economic peace, you have North Korea backing up, you have China stepping back, you have Russia not doing anything, you have the Middle East peace accords. In 2017, it's as though God was saying this was a period of peace and there would be these seven cities across through. Where did it exit? It exited, this 2017 eclipse exited right in the area of Carolina where the Civil War started. Now, this is a curious thing. The peace ends as it exits right where the Civil War, the American Civil War, started. Now you go to the next cross, which is going to be from the lower left up through to the northeast. And the thing that has been a buzz in the Christian community is that it passes over seven cities again of the similar name and a very unusual name. How many Ninevehs are there? Nineveh is going to be 130-mile wide crisscross. And now it's going up to the northeast, and it's got Nineveh is the name of the seven cities it's crossing over. Nineveh is significant in that if you remember your history, this is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Now, the Assyrians in your Bible history were a cruel and a vicious empire that literally went to the north of Israel during its rebellion when it was being judged and prophets were warning the nation that if they did not turn to God from their idolatry, that God would send a foreign power that would take them captive. And the Assyrians did. They waged a campaign, I think it was with 27 cities in 721 BC. And they swept the northern kingdom of Israel and took 10 tribes of Israel captive and dispersed them throughout Assyria. When they went down to Jerusalem in Judea, this is where Isaiah, the prophet, is there. The king, I believe it's Hezekiah, crying out to God. They saw what happened in the north. And as they came down, God sent a judgment upon the invading army, and some 130,000 of their soldiers were wiped out. According to the Bible, an angel was sent to overnight take them out, whether by plague or by something else. The army had to withdraw, and Judea was kept in peace. From that place, Jonah the prophet was sent to Nineveh to go warn them that they were about to be judged. And that explains the story of Jonah in a unique way. We'll be right back, and I'll give you the history because it applies to Nineveh in the United States. America is in an absolute crisis, and destiny is going to be determined over in the next couple of months. And guess what? You are going to be a participant in shaping what happens in America. I want to invite you to the call to courage. Courage is contagious. Persecution is not something that you should ever let keep you from preaching or proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Go to thecouragetour.com where you can join Mario Morello and me in an explosive experience where the power of God, miracles, signs, and wonders are going to be experienced by thousands of people just like you looking for the move of God and believing that God can save America. Mario, what are your thoughts about the Courage Tour?
It is a divine strategy. God has chosen locations that will directly affect the election. This is going to stave off the corruption we had in the last round, because it's going to be a supernatural event. Whenever Lance and I have worked together, whenever we've teamed up, it's like the old adage, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. What God does in our events together is amazing. This one is taking one event that was successful on its own, another event that was successful on its own, and blending them together. That's why the Courage Tour should never happen without you. If you love America, if you believe in the supernatural power of God, if you ever said, I believe that revival is coming, then you've committed yourself to be a part of this great miracle that's unfolding. Go and register at the website right now.
TheCourageTour.com. TheCourageTour.com. Yeah. We're focusing on 7 battleground states, 19 key counties, and we need you to join us. God bless you. Welcome back to this special report on prophetic signs of the times. And in the interest of absolute clarity, during our brief break, I checked it out, was 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were killed as they attempted to invade Jerusalem. And this was during the 721 BC campaign of Assyria. The reason why the Bible says they died was not a plague, but 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 35 says it was a signature judgment of God sending an angel to wipe out the intruding army. And so, the other thing I want to make sure I'm clear about is so far we know there are 6 dead from the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. And whatever I said earlier, that should be corrected. The other thing that I'm going to clarify is that the solar eclipse, the first significant one that happened in American history, happened on June 24th, 1778. It's called the George Washington eclipse because on the day of the eclipse, General George Washington was reportedly holding a war council in Hopewell, New Jersey. And prior to the eclipse, Washington sent word to his commanders in the Continental Army, alerting them to the coming phenomena in order to preempt fears and apprehensions of the soldiers that it was not going to be an evil omen. He was letting them know to not be distressed by what's about to happen. So we have this, what makes this eclipse, Mercedes was saying, well, what makes this, you know, and they keep quoting it as a 1776 eclipse, but it was 1778. And the reason why this is significant, these eclipses that I'm focusing on, is the path of most total eclipses falls over bodies of water, oceans, or unpopulated regions of planet Earth. But in 2017, and in this eclipse happening now, the event will go down as the only 2 solar eclipses whose paths of totality stay completely in the United States. These are United States signs. And so the reason why I'm saying they're signs is because in Genesis, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God set the stars, the sun, the moon in the heavens for signs, that means messages, and for seasons, and that means timing. And so there is a message and a timing to these phenomena as they take place. And I know I often think of that one verse, if you're a Bible enthusiast like I am, well, no man knows the day nor the hour when the Son of Man returns. So we sometimes dismiss these phenomena. Well, no one knows the day, but that's an inappropriate verse because that's referring to the day in which Jesus returns. What Jesus did say in Luke chapter 21, do you have that verse over there, Mercedes?
I do.
As my trusty wing person, Luke chapter 21, verse 25, Jesus specifically says, watch those heavenly signs. Go ahead, what does he say?
He says, and there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts will be failing them from the fear and the expectation of
those things that are coming to pass. And he's talking about the last days, that the sun and the moon are there for signs, and they will. And so when you have signs that are unique to the United States, that create a crisscross with seven Salems and seven Ninevehs. And the first one exits where the Civil War starts. And the second one enters where we started hearing the news cycle talk about Civil War. Now, why were we talking about Civil War at Eagle Pass? Because Eagle Pass is one of those places where 8 million invaders are being brought in by the federal government. Now, you've got the federal government in a reverse role from the Civil War. They're attacking the states. And so at Eagle Pass, you hear about Civil War because the Biden administration resisted Texas Governor Abbott's right to protect his own state from illegals that the government wants to rush into the United States. The government's arranging the invasion of America and is fighting the states that will stop it. That's why you had conversations about the Civil War. If it hadn't been for Trump's putting in a couple of Supreme Court justices that sided with the governor, who knows where we could be right now with states saying, hey, the government is dangerous. The government is the enemy of the people. So I want to focus in on this idea that at Eagle Pass, there's another piece of trivia that is most interesting. And I'm thankful to Troy Brewer for pointing this out. I wanted to get him on the show, but he wasn't available to come in. But one of the things that he had pointed out, which is interesting, is that there is in Eagle Pass, there is a General Joseph Orville Shelby was the last of the Civil War rebels who refused to end the Civil War. At Eagle Pass, where this eclipse starts, he buried a Confederate flag and is considered in history to be the undefeated rebel. So a buried Confederate flag of Civil War defiantly was put under the ground at Eagle Pass, which is the area where this solar eclipse starts, which makes one wonder, is there language here that is a foretelling of great conflict in America, that the first sign was peace and the second one is Nineveh? Now, what makes Nineveh important is Jonah is sent to go to Nineveh. Now, most people talk about Jonah like he's a cranky old prophet who didn't want to go see this Nineveh repent. Well, understand something. If you're in Israel right now and you're dealing with Hamas, and Hamas has cruelly cut off the heads of people, of children, playing soccer with human skulls, you know, raping your women, you would have such an animus towards the Hamas Gaza people that you yourself would want to see their destruction. Well, Jonah felt that way because of the atrocities that were done by Assyria, to the northern 10 tribes. It was characteristic of the Assyrians to skin you. They were one of the few countries that skinned people alive. The atrocities were actually celebrated in Nineveh as a sign of their strength over other nations. So Jonah is being sent to go tell them to repent or God's going to judge them. What would you do? Well, if you're like Jonah, you say, like, heck, I'm going to go warn them. I'm going to let you judge them. I don't want to see them repent. I want to see them judged. But in what you see is Jonah going to Nineveh. Jonah goes to Nineveh to go tell them to repent. So Jesus says something interesting about the sign of Jonah. Where is that in the Bible? I think it's Luke 11:32. Do you have that verse over there, Mercedes?
I can Google it really fast.
No sign will be
given
except the sign of Jonah?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is Matthew 12:38-40. The sign of Jonah is the resurrection of Christ.
Go ahead and read it. What does it say?
Okay. In the New Testament, Jesus says that the sign will be the sign of Jonah. I don't have it offhand. Dang.
Okay.
I thought I had it ready to go.
I'll give it to you. No sign should be given except the sign of Jonah. Now, here's the interesting thing about the sign of Jonah. To the New Testament, it's going to be Jesus will be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, much as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. But the sign that was given to Nineveh was two parts. Imagine that you are there near the fishing commercial industry and a fish somehow comes up within close enough proximity to the shore, the coastline, where it vomits out something. And what comes out, watch this, is a man out of the ocean who comes crawling out of the ocean and you're watching with horror as a man comes out of a fish onto the coastline. But when he comes out, Jonah will have virtually no clothes left on him. The gastric juices of the whale would have already consumed him, and he would be bleached white like an albino. And he comes to the shore, and his eyes are ablaze, and he's about to proclaim 40 days, and you will be destroyed. Well, the reason why I'm describing him this way is because we know of one potential person who was swallowed by a whale. The name is James Barclay, February 19, 1891, and it was east of the Falkland Islands. He was in the Navy, and it was on a whaling ship, and the whale that they had harpooned actually had swallowed him. And he came out after that, out of the whale, bleached white from the gastric juices. A couple of days later, there was a pocket of air where he could still breathe, came out of that whale, and he was blind for the rest of his life and bleached white. His tombstone says James Barclay, the modern day Jonah. So that we only have one historic evidence where this could possibly happen. So imagine this bleached man comes up out of the ocean and begins to proclaim in your city the destruction of the city. Now, this is the part that's freaky. Nassau actually has the date of the Nineveh eclipse. And what we know is that Nineveh had the eclipse in 763 BC on June 15th, which would have been the day that Jonah began preaching the judgment of God on the city, and suddenly the city now not only has the freaky guy coming in who's bleached white proclaiming your destruction, but the sun blacks out while he's preaching. So that's part of what caused the king and the rulers to soberly say, this is a deity, this is a sign from the heavens that we're in judgment, and they repented as a nation. And so you've got this. When Jesus says the sign of Jonah, you could say that the sign for the faith community is the resurrection, but the sign to Nineveh is going to be the signature of God's finger coming down and saying there'll be a judgment, and the eclipse is a sign that there is a divine signature on that call to repentance. So we've got this 7 years ago, 2017, the eclipse that traveled lasted for 1 hour and 33 minutes. Some people say this is Psalm 133, call for unity. But what we do know is that this particular total eclipse is taking place beginning in Eagle Pass, where the Confederate flag was buried by the defiant rebel. Crossing over into Little Egypt is where the overlap is. And what Troy Brewer did, which is interesting, is he zeroed in on exactly where that crossing takes place, and it's a place called Cedar Park. And the exact square footage of that overlap is a place called Salem Street. God wants America to pass this test and find peace. But I'm telling you that when you combine that with the collapse of the national anthem writer at the location where the national anthem was penned, Francis Scott Key's, you put these things together and you begin to see there may indeed be signs and there may indeed be seasons. And if there's a message and a timing, it's that the period of God's grace on America is now being X'd over with a new Egypt. What was Egypt? Egypt was the place where Joseph came alive as a historic figure who rose up in an economic crisis in order to prepare the people for survival. Is America heading into a great shaking? Is there perplexity of nations that is on the horizon? Is there this specter of the Civil War, the first pass exiting where the Civil War started, the second one crossing over where the Civil War ended? Are we seeing something that might say the first shall be last and the last shall be first? Are we heading into a cycle of domestic instability like we've not seen in America? Unless there is a Jonah moment. And the interesting thing about Jonah, I'll conclude with this, is most people miss this. The attack of Hamas on Israel happened on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It followed the Day of Atonement. the National Day of Repentance. In my opinion, as incendiary as this will sound, Israel has not had a spiritual awakening. They treat their holidays and their sacred days, I would say, in a way that doesn't connect with what God's intent was. And so when they passed their Day of National Repentance and the nation hadn't made any changes, it opened up the door for the attack on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I say that because, do you know what they read on the Day of Atonement in the Jewish community? What my forefathers would read, for instance, on the Day of Atonement? They read the story of Jonah. They read about Jonah. And the key utterance that they say on the Day of Atonement is when Jonah turns to the people on board the ship that while they're caught in a storm, and he tells them, I am a Jew. And I think the hour is coming when Christians need to identify themselves. I am a Christian. The sign of Nineveh is the Christians need to stand up and begin to own the future of America. Be unashamed about your testimony, because you're the only ones that can understand what's happening in America and make America come to a place of at least discovering the way of peace, because God's intention is that America repent and find peace. That's my conclusion for today's special broadcast.
I like that. I really like that. Do you want to end it here, or can I ask you questions? Or
oh, you can ask a question.
Okay, I was just wondering. Well, it's really super thought-provoking, Lance. Like, it's interesting because I was looking up what does Nineveh mean and what does, like, Salem mean. So I was, like, as you're talking, it's just you have this anointing, like, when you talk, it, like, inspires other people to think about things. But I was looking up Salem, and it looks like it means peaceful, safe, complete, perfect in Hebrew and Aramaic. And then Nineveh in Assyrian means fish house. It's a fish that's literally inside of a house. And so as you're talking there at the end, it just made me think that, you know, if anything, I think it's also, like you're saying, it's a sign that the Christians can't be Jonah. Like, we're almost reluctant at times to share the gospel. Like, somebody else is going to share the gospel. You know, when it comes to discipleship, I guess is what I'm trying to get at, is that we should be sharing the gospel. And it's reluctant at times. We act like Jonah. I mean, like, I got convicted about this the other day of, you know, hey, I don't even budget time into my day to sit down and have a conversation with somebody for 5 minutes, 10 minutes about Jesus and the reality of who he is, and that, you know, we're all sinners saved by grace through faith. And it's that. And so I wonder, as you're talking and you see this eclipse go over and it's hitting all these Nineveh towns, it just makes me think, like, this is, like, we will be fishers of men. And if Nineveh means fish house, it's a call to Christians to say the harvest is many, but the laborers are few, you know? And we're at a time and a season in history where if we're not going, especially as America, within our own states, within our own communities, and we're not bringing Christ to people one-to-one, and then also God's way of doing things into systems and reform, then we are Jonah. And so maybe there is a rebuke, but also at the same time, maybe God will turn and relent if we repent. And we'll see a next big, great move of God. So anyways, thoughts as you're...
Or maybe we're heading into a period of time where Christians are going to have to stand up and own who they are, because some states mm-hmm. are going to be better off than others in the coming crises. Mm-hmm. And that those states where the Christians have engaged the environment and put governors in office and congressmen and mayors and sheriffs, that they might be able to have during this period of turmoil a place of greater stability because they preached to their Nineveh, and their Nineveh actually turned. Mm-hmm. 40 days was what Jonah said, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the 40 days following this eclipse. Yeah. But I want to leave you with a positive note, and that is that Jesus said these things that are coming to pass should not make you unstable. Let not your heart be troubled, because the fact that we're having this conversation means we have advanced warning. We're here for the sake of the other people that are like Joseph in Egypt. The new Egypt is saying the new America is going to require Josephs, and it's going to require Jonahs, and it's going to require deliverers. And you listening to me right now are part of that company. By the way, I really want you to get a hold of some of our letters we're writing now. I just looked at one recently. It's called The Power of an Exchanged Life. And it's the hope of how you can be a witness, an overcoming believer in a day of great distress. And I want all of you to be able to get a hold of this. I sent it to my partners and prayer partners. But I want you to be able to get this in your mail. Right now, I'll send you a digital copy of it. You go to lancewellner.com/March. Mm-hmm. Yeah, lancewellner.com/March. I'll send you a digital copy. And then after that, you'll get one in the mail. I like it in the mail because I keep these, I underline them. And I'll tell you the truth, as I'm reading what I've been writing, I actually find that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to me. That's why I know it's an anointed message, because it's something which you can derive strength from. Every month, I'm going to send you what I'm seeing as the signs of the times and how to prepare for the future. Be encouraged and let not your heart be troubled, because God is overseeing all these things. And we'll be looking forward to seeing you again. Remember that. It's lancewellner.com/March letter. That's what it is. lancewellner.com/March letter. I'll get that to you, and you get a digital copy now, and then in the future, you'll get it in the mail.
Sounds
great. All right. Look forward to seeing you on our next broadcast.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.